United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
The president has appointed a national commission to investigate fraudulent voting in America. It's very controversial. But there's another issue of voting inequity that is hiding in plain sight. Hello, I'm Jerry Christensen, and this is the Seminary Explores. Our guest is Mr. Stephen Niebler. He is known to us locally as the former director of Adams County Office for Aging. Now he says he is a recipient of the Adams County as of about 2 days ago. But right now, he's here because he is the coordinator of Fair Districts, Adams County, Pennsylvania, which is a subgroup of Fair Districts, Pennsylvania. And while this is politics locally, remember, all politics is local, it does relate us to a universal issue in the United States. It's called gerrymandering. And that's our subject today. What a wonderful word, but what is it?
Well, amazingly, it's not named after Jerry Christensen. It is the process that we've used in this country for well over 200 years to allocate or place in place the federal congressional districts, and in each state, the state House and Senate districts. And it's come to be, in recent times, a very poisonous word, because with the advent of modern technology, we've been able to allocate voters down to basically the city block and even the house that they live in. And so while we've always allocated districts based on politics, it's gotten a lot worse in the last 20 years or so as we've used technology to create congressional districts and state house and senate districts that look a lot like the old Rorschach blobs that you saw in back in the old days. Yes. They look like blobs of paint thrown against the wall. And our various state constitutions require that these districts be what are known as compact and concise, and our modern day districts, sadly, Jerry, are neither. And so the gerrymandering that we've always done has really gotten out of hand in the modern age, and a number of us good government types are setting out to try to fix it.
If you didn't know about this, you might not be aware of it, but on the other hand, a few of us look at maps of districts. And some of them are really, if you looked at the map, or if you were an eagle can fly over the districts, they're really askewed, aren't they? They don't represent conciseness.
We have a district in eastern Pennsylvania that's looked at as almost the single worst exhibit of gerrymandering in the entire country. And to me, it looks like a very large butterfly. So you have two wings connected by this little tiny connection in the middle. And you can imagine that a congressman in like the upper right-hand wing to drive to the lower left-hand wing is driving through at least one other congressman's district, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Are they connected? They have to be connected.
They are connected, but only by one little tiny city block. Of real estate. That's looked at as one of the worst in the country. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and North Carolina are generally looked at as the three worst gerrymandered states in the country. And if you look at the congressional districts in any of those states, you see that they're kind of these amorphous blob things. There's actually a township in eastern Pennsylvania that has three congressmen, which makes it really interesting when the township supervisors want to apply for a federal grant or call their congressman.
Yeah.
They have to call three different offices, tell their story three different times.
Mm-hmm.
Townships and boroughs really ought not to be divided unless it's absolutely necessary. But in modern days, that's what we've done. And it's very unfortunate because it really waters down the power we have as individual voters to elect the politicians that we want to represent us.
And then there's the national issue, which is an impression to me, and you can correct it, but I understand that the party that won the most votes for congressional seats in the last two, three maybe elections was not the party that is represented in Congress.
It's not unusual for a party to gain more votes in a state, you know, on a statewide basis, and have fewer congressional districts in their control, and that's true in Pennsylvania. And I wish I could give you the exact numbers off the top of my head. I can't, but it's like 2-1 in Pennsylvania when there were about 60% of the votes cast for one particular party, the out party, if you will. The out party ought to be the in party.
Yeah.
But because of the way the districts are set up,
60% is it mean?
That's not happening. Yes.
A 10% majority or plurality is not being represented in.
You can cut it a lot of different ways. The bottom line is, people are not, they're not getting the representation that they vote for, because they're in these gerrymandered, crazy-looking districts.
And all that is not due actually to Mr. Gary, who's given us the name gerrymandering, who's from Massachusetts of about 100 years ago, but this has been with us since the Constitution provided that state legislatures, which they thought would be reasonable at that time, men of property, would come together and do this without regard to partisan politics. And it wasn't long before they realized that that would not be the case, but it was too late.
Well, you've really hit the heart and soul of the issue, Jerry, and that is that we do allow, in almost every state, elected officials to choose their own voters, and that's wrong. You know, most states use a commission. Most are 5 or 7 members. Most are appointed by the legislature, by the legislators, and they're made up, majority-wise, usually of legislators. So essentially, you're allowing not only the fox to guard the hen house, you're allowing the fox to build the hen house so it has an easier entrance for him to get in. Mm-hmm. And that's really what got me interested in this issue, was you have a system here that is wildly out of control. It's been a problem in the whole history of the country, but it's been made worse over the last 20 years or so, because technology allows us to drill down and allocate voters literally on a house-by-house, block-by-block basis. We need to take the designation of federal congressional districts and state house and senate districts. We need to take the control of the appointment of those out of the hands of the people who get voted for and put it in the hands of an independent group of citizens, where really the power ought to lie.
The Constitution doesn't allow us, it allows us a lot of leeway, because there are not many strictures. They just said that state legislatures will appoint on the basis of the census every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, other than that, what do we have? We got some positive law against racial bias in districting, but none to represent the majority or the minority.
Actually, the best thing that's happened in modern times are really two breakthroughs in this. One is California, where when Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected governor, he looked at this and said, this is a huge problem. This is not a good thing. And interestingly enough, he got the system changed in California that they now have fair, compact, concise districts. And also, interestingly enough, his party suffered as a result of that. But he did the right thing for the state. The other historic thing was a court case a few years ago that the Supreme Court ruled on in Arizona, where they affirmed the idea that states could, in fact, appoint nonpartisan, nonpolitical citizens' commissions to do this work. Prior to that, there was no specific case law that allowed that to happen. And so, by the Supreme Court saying that was okay, that really cleared the way for states like Pennsylvania and others to change their own constitutions and get at the business of doing this in a much more fair and reasonable way, using private citizens as the commissioners.
Steve Niebler is the coordinator of Fair Districts, a subgroup of Fair Districts Pennsylvania, which probably also has a national organization, and they're working to bring fairness back into the representation system in opposition to or in control of gerrymandering. And speaking of Jerry, I'm Jerry Christensen. You're listening to the Seminary Explorers, and we're glad to learn that there was a Mr. Gary to whom this kind of cheating in plain sight has been named. We're talking about the Constitution, Steve. It's fairly clear on the one set, in two senses. State legislatures must appoint. So even if there's a commission, they would have to approve that commission's results?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the way it works in Pennsylvania is you get the census is done in the 10-year period. So 2020, we do a census. The numbers usually don't become available till about a year later, in 2021. And at that point, the five appointed commissioners currently sit down and start drawing maps. And they use the State Department. Pennsylvania actually has a Department of State, which oversees elections. And they draw maps. And then the politicians have at it. And they change the borders so that more of one party are in a certain area, more of another are in another area. And what's worse sometimes is that they can take a city like Harrisburg or Scranton and put them in a district where those folks can never hope to get anybody elected. Mm. They put them in a district that's 20 miles wide and 300 miles long, and they stick them at the end of the district, and all the folks in that city can go vote, and their votes essentially don't count because there aren't enough of them in that particular district to make it work. To make
it looks like, if you can see, it looks like a pie, right? And their little sizes, they get narrow and narrow as they approach the big urban areas.
We have districts, Jerry, that just look outrageous. They look like claws. The one that I said, it looks like to me like a butterfly. There are actually people who describe that as Donald Duck kicking Goofy, because if you have a Walt Disney eye, you look at it and you say, yeah, you can see there's a guy on the left, looks like he's kicking a guy on the right, and they're connected by this little tiny thing in the middle. Your congressional districts, you know, Iowa has an interesting approach. Now, Iowa is a pretty rectangular state, so it's easy for them, but basically Iowa takes the number of congressional districts they have and divides the state into squares and says, we're done.
Really?
That's it. Now, they have to adjust because they all have to be approximately equal in population. Mm-hmm. And you do get in then to discussions about, well, are they more male than female? Are they more black than white? Are they more Latino than white? You get into all those issues, and you do have to adjust some boundaries to make that a reasonable compromise. But what you don't have to do is gerrymander based on who votes and how they vote and what party they're in, so that one party gains a distinct political advantage, can lose 60% of the vote in a state, but capture 60% of the congressional districts, 70% of the congressional districts. That's a problem, and that's what we need to fix.
I don't know that anybody can remember that you are just old enough to remember Rorschach test, but and I was going to use a worse one, which was if you put this on the ground and threw paint at it, it would look like Jackson Pollock or some other abstract artist, right? Yeah. Splashes of paint around, except these are controlled.
Yeah, I wish we were on TV so we could hold up one of those.
Show a map of Pennsylvania.
If people are interested, they can go to a website called Fair Districts PA and look at Pennsylvania's congressional districts. Even if you're if you're listening to this program in Hawaii, take a look at Pennsylvania's congressional districts and you will see this problem painted in bright colors for you.
On the subject of the Constitution, we're still on there. The Supreme Court has been pretty clear about not gerrymandering districts to favor whites over against blacks. But it has not yet said too much about majorities over minorities. Odd. But there is a case pending. So, and what is that? Do you know what that case is?
Well, the problem right now, Jerry, is there's a case in Wisconsin. There's a case in North Carolina. North Carolina actually created a district that looks a lot like a snake. It runs roughly from Charlotte up through the Research Triangle, and it's a very crooked thing. Like a meandering river. Mm-hmm. And the reason they created that district was they basically put a lot of African Americans in that district. And so you might be inclined to say, well, that's a good thing. The problem is they're all in that district. Mm-hmm. So African Americans don't get represented then in other districts. They're all in this snake-like district. Mm-hmm. So that's being litigated. Yeah. Wisconsin's is being litigated in front of the Supreme Court this fall. The rolling of the dice there is we just don't know how that's going to go with a new Supreme Court justice. He's not ruled on any of these cases yet. So nobody's really sure how the Supreme Court's going to come down on that. It's unfortunate that we have to do this in the courts. It's so much easier if we just get over ourselves, let an independent commission of private citizens do this in a nonpartisan, non-political, fair way. We'll all be further ahead in the long run.
Before we get to these alternatives, one more thing. You have assiduously avoided using the terms of political parties. Is that partly because everybody's guilty? All have fallen short of the glory?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. Okay.
Pennsylvania is right now, we'll talk politics. Pennsylvania is gerrymandered in favor of Republicans. 8 miles south of where we're sitting today in the great state of Maryland. They're gerrymandered because they're Democrats. Mm-hmm. So nobody's guilt-free in all of this. Mm-hmm. We've all been willing to buy into this system for far too long. And what we're trying to do here in Pennsylvania and in Adams County and anywhere this issue is discussed, this is a good government issue. It's not a Republican issue. It's not a Democratic issue. There is an interesting quirk in Pennsylvania's commission that it does require the 3 of our 11 appointed members be independents. And that's the first time in anybody's recollection they can remember that those folks who are registered independents, which is quite a sizable number of registered voters, they'll be at the table. Mm. And they should be at the table. Mm-hmm. They should be there. Even communists and socialists and green parties and Republicans and Democrats, everybody should be represented here in order to do this well and to do it fairly. So we really do try not to talk R's and D's because we want this to be a nonpartisan, nonpolitical fight.
And even when you meet as a group, it is a nonpartisan. You try to keep your language that way. You try to get people from both parties. You try to get speakers from both parties.
At our first public meeting, I had to repeatedly say to folks, this is not a gathering of this particular group. Mm-hmm. This is a nonpartisan, nonpolitical group. Stop that.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Stop bringing up the partisan stuff. We're not here to do that. We're here to be fair. We're here to be good about all of this.
Now, let's start with when we talk about alternatives, I keep going back to where things are now. Why in Pennsylvania? That's an independent group, isn't it? There are 3, 6, 7 legislators who determine the boundaries, and 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans?
Well, you actually have 5. You have 2 Republicans, 2 Democrats.
5.
And then the state Supreme Court steps in and appoints the 5th one. Well, if the state Supreme Court in Pennsylvania, we still
vote by party.
We still elect judges based on political affiliation, and that's a whole other fight.
Yeah, yeah.
That may be my next
one. Okay.
We may take that one on if we can win this one. But basically, whoever controls the Supreme Court controls the 5th seat on the commission. And last time out, that was they appointed a guy who was about to retire from the state Superior Court, who was a longtime member of one particular party. And so the commission was 3-2, and we end up with districts that are very gerrymandered in favor of that particular party, mm-hmm. in spite of the fact that that party does not hold a majority voter registration in the state. And if you look at the total votes cast statewide, does not win. Mm-hmm. They don't win, but they control the seats.
Is there any self-interest in that party to cooperate in making a change in the future of Pennsylvania, for example? And I'm taking it again that all politics is local and you need to check in on your own states, but there are going to be issues like this every time. But is there some self-interest involved in Pennsylvania's change?
Yeah, our Supreme Court in 2021, when this will be done again, will be controlled by the other party, the party that's on the outs right now. And quite frankly, there are some folks in the legislature who are drooling over the idea that they get to do to the R's what was done to them in 2010 or 2011.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but that doesn't fix the problem.
No.
And so that just kicks the can down the road for another 10 years. Now's the time where we need to capitalize on the system, the situation, and say we're going to fix this and we're going to make it fair and we're going to make it nonpartisan, we're going to make it nonpolitical.
There are, I know, a couple of alternatives in the world, and one that is, I think, common in Britain. You set the boundaries of a district, and then you increase or decrease the number of your members of parliament in that district, but that's going to skewer the whole thing, too, isn't it? Because you're going to have 2 in some places, which is double the other one, and the mathematical difference is not double.
I don't think you'll ever see that happen in the United States, Jerry, because The 435 congressmen, the 100 senators, that's so entrenched in who we are. I mean, mm-hmm. we've been that way from the very beginning. When we had 13 original colonies, we haven't increased the size of our legislature. Not to say that we shouldn't, but I don't think we will. You'd have to change the Constitution. And some of us have now been alive long enough to remember many amendments, many efforts to amend the Constitution. We couldn't get one passed to recognize women as equality, as mm-hmm. equals. Changing the legislative size, I think, is an uphill climb. Pennsylvania right now has a number of legislative proposals to reduce the size of our legislature. We have 203 House members and 50 senators. And there are a lot of people who argue that that's way too many of both. I don't think you'll see that happen anytime soon, although that's more likely than a change at the federal level just because it's easier to do. But people outside the system don't have a lot of enthusiasm for that. You know, that those numbers were set by the quote unquote founding fathers, and we're pretty married to them.
Yeah. So in our last question, then, just to review for us, the commission that your Fair Districts is recommending would look like what?
Well, right now the proposal is 11 members. You could pick any number. It could be 7. It could be 13. You know, 11 is what is proposed at the moment and is in the proposed legislation to start the ball rolling. Those 11 folks would come from a pool of people who would, theoretically, anybody in the state could nominate themselves as long as they're a regular voter and they've been a resident of the state, I believe, for a year. And then the State Department of State, which always confuses me when you say the State Department of State, will vet those folks and randomly draw down to a number of 40. At that point, because the legislators want to be part of this in some way, each House and Senate chamber would have the right to scratch two people.
Now, why? Kind of like jury. Yeah, exactly.
And so you get the number down to something. I think it takes it down to 32. And then you go through another process of vetting, and you eventually get down that you have an 11-member commission. And it is very much like jury selection. Four of our commissioners would have to be Republicans, four would have to be Democrats, and three would have to be independents or some other party. So is it a perfect system? No, but it's a whole lot better than now for the main reason that none of those 11 people will have been allowed to run for office in recent times, nor have plans to run for office in the future. They have to be private citizens.
The subject has been gerrymandering, especially in Pennsylvania, but across the United States. The guest, Stephen Niebler, the coordinator of Fair Districts Adams County, a subgroup of Fair Districts Pennsylvania. I'm Jerry Christensen for the Seminary Explorers. Have a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.